In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Joining this episode of A Psychic Story. Today we have Dave Ironman here, and he has a wealth of expertise.
All right.
His company and website is Personal Freedom Advocate, and he's everything from a licensed acupuncturist to a shamanic practitioner. He's also a certified life coach, a Reiki master and teacher. He also is a reader for the Akashic Records and meditation teacher, and much, much more. I also personally love the angel messenger aspect of it as well, and just very thrilled to have him here on the show. So thank you, Dave, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks again for being here. And when we were talking before and just corresponding, one of the things that came up is what people think of nowadays of the law of attraction. And I remember, gosh, it might have been like over 10 years ago or even more when people were talking about The Secret and everything else. And even more so nowadays, people talk about affirmations and how we can manifest things. And for me, what was very eye-opening is that you were saying it's not necessarily less about the law of attraction, but that people have a misunderstanding or misrepresentation of what that looks like. So I'd love to hear more from your perspective about what that is. But before we get into that, more importantly, just about how you personally got involved into all of this, I think that it's not necessarily a path, modern day way that most people want to necessarily pursue. So maybe we can get into that a little bit and hear from you just how you got started.
Sure, absolutely. It's been a very winding road, which I think is typical. It's certainly typical of the healing path and the spiritual path. It's really rare that it's a straightforward, straight line up, straight up the mountain. It's usually a winding road, ups and downs. And that's been my journey. So I was a career computer programmer. I was a high school teacher, done all sorts of different things. And really, when I was teaching high school, my wife, we were just dating at the time, but my wife, suggested that I go to acupuncture school because I had been receiving acupuncture treatment. I really liked it. And what I liked most about teaching was working with students one-on-one, not necessarily about getting them to learn math. I do have a passion for math, but it was more about the interaction with the student, you know, whether their issue was academic or personal. That was really what got me up in the morning. That's what really got me excited. So my wife suggested that I go to acupuncture school because I loved receiving acupuncture treatments. And this would be a way that I could work with people one-on-one, take the best part of my job and make it a full-time thing. And so at the time, I was a very loving, open-hearted boyfriend. And I said, no way. I said, you're out of your mind. I could never do that. But she was right, because she's always right. And a few months later, I was in an open house for acupuncture school, and that's where I went. And it just was a winding road. I dabbled a little bit in Reiki, and I was curious about shamanism, and I was curious about this, and it just, things sort of started to show up. And it was just kind of piqued my curiosity. So I'm like, oh, I'm curious about that. And okay, I'll learn about the Akashic Records. And it was more like having had received the benefit of it for myself as a client. Then I said, I think this is a really wonderful tool, and I want to learn about it. And it was, for a while there, it got a little overwhelming. I said, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm all over the place. But what I realized is that all of those modalities are just means to an end. So it's more about how someone is practicing Reiki and how someone is practicing acupuncture, more so than the specifics of what that modality is. So the way that I use these tools and the way that I've learned it is right in my wheelhouse, is helping people really make change in their life. Acupuncture, it's a wonderful tool and it can help people with wide host of issues. But if someone's not actually making changes in their life, they're going to end up back in my office the following week with the same stuff. So the way that I end up using acupuncture or Reiki or shamanism or talking with the Akashic Records is really to help someone grow and make changes to the way they see themselves, the way they see life. And that is the crux of it. So for me, it's less about the specifics of the modalities, but more so how they're used, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the most important things, is because for me, what I've noticed both for myself and then others when I work on them, regardless of what the modality is that it really depends on what people are open to and also what works the best for them. And for me, acupuncture, I just find fascinating in the sense that we all have meridians, we all have energy points within our body. And sometimes we forget that from a modern day society, that there are ways for us to access that energy and access the release of it and so forth in the healing, right? So there's that. But then also,
absolutely.
Yeah. And also, I'm very curious on the shamanism part that, you know, so how did you go from acupuncture to shamanism? And also, if you can give a little bit of explanation on, obviously there's big differences, but just what was the jump and what made you want to like learn a little bit more into that modality?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it such a jump. I didn't leave acupuncture behind when I did that. I had been curious about shamanism for a lot in my life and curious in a way of like when I would hear about it, like as a kid watching TV and there would be a Native American elder as a character on the show, my ears just kind of opened a little bit more. I didn't know what I was listening to or why, but I was like, this is really interesting to me. This is fascinating. And when I was in my early 20s, I just started picking up some books at the local bookstore. I just got really interested in this one book about the medicine of the Cherokee. I'm like, I don't know why. The book kind of jumped off the shelf at me. So it's always been a very quiet interest of mine. And then I, through the grapevine, the way life is, I met people and they said, hey, here's a training. Here's some information. You can join us at the Sweat Lodge. And it felt really right to me. It felt coming home. And this was independent of my career path. This was something that I was just pursuing because I thought it was really amazing. And it felt very resonant to me. And we'll come back to that, the law of resonance. But it felt very home to me. It felt very connected to who I really am. So I was in acupuncture school, but then I would take a weekend class in shamanism, or I would talk to other people who are in that world and just to learn more and soak it up. I didn't really have a goal with it. I wasn't saying, I'm going to take this workshop so that way I can do this for other people. I took it because I'm really curious about how to connect with the spirits of nature more. I'm really curious how I can live my life in a more natural way, and not natural necessarily as diet and exercise, although that's a part of it. It was more of living, connecting with the land, connecting with the spirits of weather, connecting with the big thread of life that connects us all, and looking at life from that perspective and appreciating life from that perspective instead of just the Western mindset of the solitary, separate, I, capitalist, consumer self. And so I was curious about it. And then it turned into like, oh, I can see how this could work into healing work. I can see how I can incorporate this in. But it wasn't necessarily a goal from the outset.
That makes sense. Did anyone ever during this exploration say to you that maybe this was something that the reason why it resonated so much was in your past life?
Yes. And I'm all for, and the worldview and the spiritual view that I work with definitely hold on to past lives or multiple lives and reincarnation as a central tenet to how we live. And also, it just for me doesn't matter too much because my experience of it is, this feels really calling to me. I don't know if I need to put a particular label on it to say that definitely I was an elder in this particular tribe, you know, in this past life. Because as powerful as this can be, it is just a story. And for me, it's more like this might help give me context and explain it. But to me, it just feels awesome and it feels right and something I feel drawn to. It's almost like, you know, you could listen to a symphony And you can describe it in very specific terms. Oh, maybe I was Mozart in a previous lifetime, or I was a violinist. That's why I love it so much. But who cares? I mean, I just feel really drawn to the music, and I love it so much that it feels really good, and I want to learn more about it. So, yes, I do believe that I have that connection. On the same breath, I don't know how much that matters, because it still feels very right to me.
Yeah, and I think for you, especially, and others who are open to it and have had, I would say when we feel comfortable with that, that answer resonates 100%. But for people that may or, you know, may not realize that they feel a connection to something that may be completely different on how they grew up or what they understand, it is a good kind of reference point to say, well, maybe there is a connection from a different time, a different, you know, aspect of energy, and that way that they just feel comfortable about it.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that can give people permission to explore it, you know, and they can be like, okay, well, I have a little more ownership over it if I feel I can direct connection to that.
Yeah. It's empowering.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Anyway, and I've had moments when either learning, practicing, or teaching things around shamanism, I've had moments of like, okay, but I'm a white boy from Jersey. Like, what right do I have to do this work? What right do I have to teach this? Because genetically, biologically, I don't have, I mean, of course, if you go far, far, far back enough, you know, 20 or 30 generations, we're all indigenous. But like, you know, I wasn't born into a tribe. I was born in the suburbs of New York City. But really the way some of my teachers explained it, which I really appreciate, is that these are tools. I don't call myself a shaman. That's not a right that I have. I say that I have these shamanic tools, and I am a shamanic healer, a shamanic practitioner. But the term shaman is really a community-driven term. A village got together and said, you are the healer, you have the gift, or the existing shaman would train in an apprentice. And like that was a much more of a community setting. Okay, our community is saying you are our person for that. And for me to just use that term for myself, that's something that I don't feel comfortable at all doing. But I will say that I appreciate and I honor the work very deeply. And I can say, but these are tools that are for everybody. And it's no different like to say that I have to be Japanese or Chinese in order to practice acupuncture. This is a tool and it can be applied by anybody. And just as I was saying before about how these tools are applied, you know, if they're applied with respect, with honor, with as much of an understanding as possible of where it came from in the context of these tools, that I feel completely at peace with using them or anything else in that world.
Well, and I really appreciate you saying that too, because the whole purpose of this show, or the reason why I started it, was because it's called a psychic story because of the fact that people have misperceptions of what a quote unquote psychic is, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're just intuitive, that you're a medium, you're a shaman, this, that, and the other, or astrologer. I've had people turn down interviews just because they said, I've spent my whole life branding myself to not be that. And the whole point of it is that we all have such an abundance of wealth and gifts available and abilities to us as humans and spiritual beings here, that it's important to know that, you know, you have this, these resources that you can go to. So I very much respect the fact that you see that, and also that you have joined to talk about your journey, because to me, that's just important to help educate people to know that we have options, and just opening up our minds and understanding where we can go with it.
Oh, absolutely. My way of practicing is empowering. And when I teach, my goal is not to stand up and say, look how much I know, and like, and professing in that way. It's more about, I want people to own these tools for themselves so they can move on. When a client comes to see me, my goal is to, I joke that it's a really lousy business model, because my goal is to get them to not need to see me. My goal is to, like, how do I get you to the tools? That way you're able to manage yourself, manage your anxiety better, to be able to understand where your headaches are coming from and preempt them in the future, for you to make changes in your life that are going to be long lasting. And so that's why I call myself a personal freedom advocate. I'm advocating for my clients' personal freedom, their freedom from the things that have kept them bound, kept them limited, kept them small, kept them in certain patterns of behavior or certain kinds of relationships, which just don't serve them and they want to move beyond it. I'm not going to, if someone comes in and has got a client a couple of years ago who had migraine headaches, and well, yes, I can treat the headaches just as they are. My thing is, why are they here? And it ended up being because she was trying to be supermom and she wanted to give her kids absolutely everything and make sure everything was perfect. And it was, which is a lovely want, but it was really driving her to a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety and a lot of physical detriment. And so while I could alleviate the migraines when she came in, my goal was to help her set up that she didn't have to be, she didn't feel like she had to be the perfect mom, where it was okay if the Christmas tree didn't come down the day after Christmas, you know, that not everything was perfectly sparking clean every single time someone came to her house, that like the cost of that was hurting her and her body was demonstrating that to her with her headaches. So, you know, for me, I'm like, I'm advocating for you to free yourself from those beliefs and from those limitations, and that, which is going to show up in some sort of discomfort, whether mental, emotional, physical, and be acupuncture or Reiki or the Akashic Records or angel messengers, all of that is aids to that end. You know, so the acupuncture isn't necessarily appropriate for every client every time they come in. You know, sometimes I love the free form with some clients that today we're going to do a shamanic healing. This time we're going to do acupuncture. This time we're going to do Reiki. Now we're going to talk to your Akashic Records for the next appointment. And it ends up just being a flow. And these are all just different tools that I have in my toolbox to that end with.
Yeah, no. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that too, because the common theme for me, what I'm hearing from every practitioner, is that if you focus on yourself and make yourself a little bit better every single day. And that doesn't mean you need to be perfect. It just means that you embrace things, you're grateful, and you look at, okay, how can I change and not control? Then the world would be completely different than what it is today. And that's really, I think, the message, yeah. Right? And we all look outside, like, I want to go to a doctor. I want to go to a Reiki practitioner, whatever have you. And sometimes you absolutely need help. That's why we are here as, you know, a community and humanity. But if we were to look inward and do the work that we really need to do, then we would be in a completely different place. So I'd love to get to the law of resonance. But before that, you've mentioned the Akashic Records. And I personally, I've only done a little bit of research on this because I feel like it's super, super deep. But for our listeners who may not be familiar with it, if you don't mind just explaining a little bit what those entail, and then we can kind of get into the good stuff on the law of resonance.
Sure. The idea behind it is that we are a soul first and a human second. And it fits the model that we come around into multiple incarnations in different bodies at different times in human life and human history. We've got to be 40. We can look, someone could write my biography for the last 40 years, like, okay, this is what happened in Dave's life, you know, in this soul's life, who in this particular body, in this vessel that he had the name Dave for this amount of time. And we can see the big themes and we can see the lessons. The Akashic Records take that to the next level and say, okay, we are going to be the biography of your soul's journey from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. So we can start to see your soul is here to learn certain lessons, you know, so that maybe why you're stuck in a particular kind of relationship or with a particular kind of person can we understand as you're trying to work out a particular lesson. You're trying to work out lessons around boundaries or self-love or self-worth or how to care for your body in a particular way, like big themes that when we talk to the Akashic Records are going to give as big a perspective as possible on what you're experiencing now, as to kind of like the deepest whys you're going through something and the deepest so what. So this is happening and so what. You know, when we talk about past lives, a lot of times I have found the story of the past life gets glorified. Oh, I was this person in this lifetime. And kind of like, that doesn't matter so much. The details of the story I find don't matter so much. It's more of the energy of the story and the meaning of it. It's kind of like, it doesn't matter whether it was revolutionary time or civil war time or the Renaissance. If you're still working through this theme of betrayal, that's the energy. That's what really matters. So how do you understand your current context, your current situation with your current partner, or why it's hard for you to open up and, you know, your own particular fear of intimacy from that perspective? So it's less about the details of those stories rather than the energy of it. So talking to the Akashic Records can be incredibly healing because it gives this really big perspective when we often get very locked into a small-minded view of what's happening to me, what my problem is, and what my symptoms are, what's happening in my relationship, or what's happening in my work or finances. But we could say, okay, instead of, you know, the Akashic Records are not going to say, you should play these lottery numbers. They're not predictive in that way. It's more around, okay, well, you're learning the value of self-worth. And so when you are able to work with that a little bit and like these challenges that you can see in life, you can see like, okay, I'm learning to declare my worth and then the money will follow. It's a big thematic, big picture view on what's happening for you currently.
And for me, the motto or the mantra that I've lived by or I've been trying to is we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience.
100%, yes.
And if people were to realize that, then I feel like 99% of the quote unquote problems or issues that we're having in this lifetime would kind of go by the wayside, because that's why we experience the struggles that we do, is because we're looking at the physical and not the spiritual growth aspect of things.
Yes, we're looking at the physical only. I mean, we still have to deal with the physical. Living a spiritual life, I still have to eat well and exercise and take care of my physical vessel.
Correct,
but
yeah.
It's not the only thing that is. And with spirituality in any form, even if it's organized religion, the spirituality provides the context, a bigger picture for us to understand what's happening.
Exactly. I love that. And hopefully that really resonates with people that are listening, because for me, it's simple to hear, but it's also hard to kind of practice and listen to it and put it into your everyday. And then after a while, once you do, you will definitely feel a shift for sure, at least from my perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's been my experience. And it's not to rebuke the human. So for instance, earlier this year, one of our dogs was ill and she was old and she eventually passed away a couple months ago. And it was very hard. So my wife and I were having very much our human experience of grief, of loss, of pain, of questioning why does this have to happen? Why can't we get her for a little bit more time? But at the same time, we had the spiritual perspective right there with us. So it sort of rounded the corners a little bit, took the sharpness off it. We still very much had our human grief and we very much had our human issues with it, but we were also able to see the big picture. And like, she's done her work with us. Now her lessons with us are complete. She's ready to move on. She's graduating on to the next level. And when she was passing, like, this isn't a goodbye. Like, this is a see you soon. This is a, you go on up ahead and we'll catch up to you. That was nice and really sweet. It didn't take away the pain. It didn't take away the humanhood. That's still very much present, but it softened it. And it was kind of running parallel to it, which gave me a break from just being in the human all the time.
Yeah, and I'm very sorry to hear about your dog. I recently lost mine. And what I found with it is it was the hardest thing. So I completely have compassion for you guys. I have another dog. They were very closely bonded. And she was sad. I'm not saying that she's still not sad, right? But the difference was between her grief and my grief was that she accepted it a lot more freely and quickly, right? And then also, I could just still feel the presence. Like, the energy doesn't go anywhere. Maybe the physical body does, but the energy doesn't go anywhere. The love, the compassion, everything else. And for me, like you just said, it's a see you later. And by the way, not even see you later. Like, I am still here, you know, in a lot of ways. They are still around and they're not going to go anywhere, because for me, love transcends all time. So now moving on, I would love to hear your perspective about the law of resonance, because when we were, you know, communicating back and forth and we were talking about law of attraction, and I've been doing a lot of reading about it over the last 15 years or so. And from my perspective, I feel like people in a lot of ways kind of, I would say approach it in an incorrect way. They might not necessarily know how to approach it the right way and what it actually means. So would love to just hear from your perspective what that means and get some tips perhaps for our listeners.
Sure. I definitely have riled some people up in the past with some of this. And so I'll soften my language a little bit, but, you know, because...
Don't worry about softening it. Don't just be honest. Just be yourself. My whole thing is about transparency. That's all it is. So you won't offend me. And if you offend others, then that means that you've actually hit a truth button.
Sure. Right. I used to say there is no such thing as a law of attraction. And that's what really bothered people, because it's not a law. It's not even a spiritual law. It is a marketing term. It's not to say, like, the may cause miracles is crap, or that the secret doesn't work or manifestation isn't real. It's just that under that name, it's a little misleading. So it's the law of physics. And in short, the law of resonance says everything is energy, and all energy vibrates. And so Einstein showed this, right, that E equals MC squared, all energy is matter, all matter is energy, and it's just we're all vibrating at different things. So the idea is that anything can vibrate at pretty much any frequency. So you can walk into a room and this room feels really nice. And you walk into a room like, ooh, something doesn't feel good in here. And you're just feeling the energy of the room. The room doesn't necessarily actually change. The atoms in the room don't necessarily change in the way of their actual chemical structure. However, the energy of it is different. And so we can say that the space around us can vibrate in any way. We can vibrate in any way. Another way of just saying we vibrate another way is if you take a moment and you think about something that really bothers you, and you just really kind of feel that and think about that, and that upsets you, and you kind of feel your body start to change a little bit. Maybe your breathing changes. You maybe get a little tightness in your chest or your pit in your stomach, or you furrow your brow. You're actually resonating in that upset. That is the energy. That is the primary energy that you're putting out at that moment. But you can also then let that go and think of something that brings you a lot of joy, something that brings you a lot of happiness, and something that is very, very easy to love in life. And you might notice that your shoulders drop, your chest puffs out a little bit, and you feel a little bit lighter. You're now resonating in that other energy. So we can vary how we're resonating. We can vary our vibration. And not only is it us, but it's the area right around us that starts to respond to us. So the law of resonance says everything is energy, all energy vibrates, and it describes what happens when different energies interact. So if I am happy and someone else near me is happy, then we actually create a bigger field, an energetic field between the two of us that amplifies our happiness. If I am happy and someone else is sad, the rule is whoever is loudest wins. So what I mean by that is not that I don't have to be like vocally loud, but if my energy, if I am more happy than how sad someone is, if I am, like, say, really in love and, like, it's a beautiful day and I'm skipping down the street and I'm just on cloud nine, and this person's just having a whatever day, just kind of like, okay, whatever, you know, I got an annoying text from my teenager, okay, fine, that, like, is just kind of bummed. Just by being near me, they're naturally going to start to feel better because I'm louder in my happiness than they are in their self. However, if I, on the flip side, if I'm just happy and I'm just doing my thing, having a decent day, and this person is in a brutal space, like their marriage of 25 years just fell apart and their parents just died all within a week, and they're just like feeling really, really down in a very loud way, I'm going to start to feel more the way they're feeling, not because I'm sensitive to energy, but just by the law of physics, that I'm going to kind of start vibrating the way they are. So the idea is that when I'm vibrating a particular way, the area around me starts to vibrate that way too. So the language of like attraction is that, like, if you are thinking about abundance and, you know, and feeling abundance, then abundance will be attracted to you. And I'm saying that it's rather the area around you, can life can vibrate in any way. Life can vibrate in abundance. It can vibrate in lack. It can vibrate in joy or fear or anxiety. And as you are in that space, you're actually going to create the energy around you. You're going to set the energy around you to what you're vibrating. So it's more like you, that's the manifestation.
So I want to unpack that a little bit for people that are listening, because my mind's blown and I completely agree with everything that you've said. The first thing, please stop me if I say anything that's incorrect. The way that I see it is that everything around us is actually not physical. What it is it's vibrations, atoms, vibrating at such a fast capacity that it's creating a physical realm is number one, right? So your physical body, your home that you're sitting in, your whatever that is, those are atoms compiled by protons and everything else that just vibrates super fast. And that's what creates our quote unquote physical reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to make sure that I'm following you correctly for everybody else. Yep. Yep.
No, we're good.
All right, cool.
Yep.
So then as a result, what happens is we think or don't think anything that we say verbally or in our minds are not necessarily as important or as strong as that physical reality that we're sitting in. Because what we're seeing is visual and it's sound related and we may not necessarily hear everything. So what I was saying is that when I'm sitting here, for example, talking to you, I see my dining room table, I see my house and I see everything else and I'm talking to you. And to me, that's the most important thing. But in reality, what probably is the most powerful and the most important is what I'm thinking and what I'm saying. Even though I can't see it, that vibration is more powerful on a higher resonance level.
I will change that. I don't know if I would say higher. I would say you're producing it. You're producing the thoughts. You're producing the feelings. So you're actually setting the energy of you and around you. If you were to leave, the things in your room would still be there. And, you know, where you, yes, you could perceive them, but and how you're perceiving it is definitely going to be filtered by how you're looking at yourself in the world. But I would say more what's under your control is like what you are, how you're resonating. You can choose to resonate in love and joy and curiosity, or you can choose to resonate in misery and self-wallowing and depression. And like, I'm not knocking anybody who has a particular issue. And I'm not saying that we have to be perfect, you know, but it's kind of like the difference between the weather and the climate. So the weather is what it's like right now in the moment. But the climate is if we aggregate all the data together, if we look back and say, how has the weather for New England been for the last 5 years? That's climate. So when we're resonating, it means, well, yes, that we have day-to-day, moment-to-moment fluctuations. It's really what we're going to manifest and how our world around us is going to shape is how we, as what our resonance is over time. It's not, I'm happy right now, then all of a sudden they're going to be happy things. And it's not about trying to eliminate the lousy in life. It's more about like, but still producing from a place of positivity and joy and opportunity.
Yeah. And I guess my point with that is more that people don't necessarily think that a lot of times we have thoughts going through our heads that we're not cognizant of, right? Mm-hmm. So as a result, you have that vibration, you have the energy that you're putting out and you're not aware that you're filling in that energy or that empty space, I should say, right? So there's a gentleman that I'd spoken to, his name's David Kennett, and he does soul sounding, which essentially is you take drums, you take music, you take vibrations, and you fill that space, that void that you have your physical space, of course, but then you fill that void. And then as a result, you are being able to manifest and bring that in more into fruition. And for me, what was so groundbreaking and eye-opening with it is that I never thought, which after 40 years of living on this earth, but 20 years of really doing this practice, is that I didn't think of the sense that vibration and sound actually transcend your physical and your spiritual and fills that void. And so for me, I think that that's the reason why I brought it up is that I'm looking here physically, I'm talking to you, I'm cognizant and conscious of all of these other things we're talking about, but I'm not, and to your point, I can walk away, but that doesn't mean that me walking away from a physical space actually changes the energy if I'm not intentionally putting it out there.
Yes, I'm going to asterisk that and add a little bit, another layer to it too.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'm learning here, as is everybody else.
Yeah. So I'll say that with sound healing, yes, this sound is energy. And so absolutely, if we can, you know, our our mind, body, soul, our energy, who we are, is going to react to the energy of the sound, and it's going to produce a certain thing. It's no different. You know, you have the pure tones of bowls or bells, and there's also, but if you're walking around and you walk past a store or hear a car that's playing, you know, death metal, you're going to feel a certain way, you know, vibe. And then if you walk past someone playing Tchaikovsky or Beethoven, you'll feel differently. And it's the energy of that that we respond to. But the other level that I wanted to mention was, so there's what we're consciously thinking and there's what we're unconsciously believing. The composite of it is what makes our energy what it is. So if I might be thinking, you know, one of the things, say, with manifestation is I might be thinking, all right, I want to manifest a new car. I'm going to manifest a new car. I'm going to manifest a new car. But if subconsciously or deeper down, I think I don't deserve that, or that can't really happen, or that is going to send a mixed message to the universe. That is part of the energy signal that I'm sending out, even if I'm not necessarily consciously aware of it. So all of it together, what I'm thinking consciously and what's going on subconsciously, is definitely going to, as a composite energy of who I am and how the world is going to respond to me.
So what are some things that people can do? Because that's, I feel like it's, I don't want to say it's a hard habit to break, but because we're programmed, or we just, like you said, we're not necessarily aware of it all. What can people do to at least start that practice of being in that, in that mindset that actually is more of that positive manifestation?
Sure. I love that question. To be curious about yourself, be curious about, all right, well, if I take a look at how my life is and what I don't like about it, or what I'm trying to manifest and it's not really working out, let me be curious about, you know, is there something in me that is sending out a different signal? If I'm walking around saying, I want to attract love, I want to attract love, I want to attract love, but a deeper part of me says, oh no, I'm actually really scared, and like, oh, I don't deserve that, or like that, then I'm going to, you know, the biggest thing is to be curious.
Or I don't want it.
Or I don't want it. Yes. Right. Exactly. Then the biggest thing I would say is to invite everybody to be curious, particularly if we hit a point of frustration. It's like, why hasn't this person shown up yet? Or why haven't I gotten that job yet? Or why hasn't this happened? And it's like, instead of getting, you know, frustration is totally normal and I absolutely experience it, I will invite myself and everybody to find that level of curiosity. Like, is there some mixed signal that I'm sending out? Right? And if there's, the curiosity is going to be really open, because when we can be open to what is happening in our subconscious, then that's how we turn the subconscious to the conscious and we're able to make changes. If I'm not aware that I have a fear of intimacy, it might take a partner to point that out to me. And then I have to be curious as to, like, well, why is it that there? What do I actually believe about love? What do I actually believe about opening my heart? Where do those beliefs come from? And then do my personal work around that. And that can be with a coach or a therapist or acupuncture or any energy work or shamanism or sound healing or anything under the sun. But to approach it with that intention of, like, I'm curious about what is in my way here. What is inside me that might be sending out a different signal?
Yeah, I love that. I think that makes a ton of sense, right? Because a lot of times we ask for things. I want that house. I want that job. I want that marriage, that relationship, children. But in reality, we think that sometimes that's just because that's what society wants you to have. But in reality, is that what's going to make you happy and soulful?
Right. Absolutely. When I work with people around manifestation, I always invite them to be curious about what resistance shows up when they go to manifest something. If they're like, I want to, you know, like, we go through meditation and okay, and like, oh, start, you know. So the process that's shown, say, in May Cause Miracles or The Secret, I think still works really well. I just don't particularly care for the term the law of attraction. But when we start with gratitude and like, I'm feeling in a place of positivity and joy, now I want to call this new thing. But if you say, I'm going to call this new thing, and then you might feel a little bit of like inside, a little bit of a twisting, a little bit of a tightening, and that, you know, that it's not about just necessarily straight plowing through and ignoring that, because that's going to still there and could easily muck up the works. It's, I invite people to be curious, like, what was that? Like, what was that little hiccup inside? And say, okay, well, I really want to manifest love, but okay, some part of me is really scared. Some part of me doesn't believe it's possible. Some part of me really cherishes my independence and I don't want to get into a relationship. Just to be curious about that, not to necessarily strong arm it, but to like, do some work with it. And then I'm like, okay, now I can manifest more clearly because I understand this fear is there, but I'm okay with the fear, but I'm going ahead and this is what I want anyway. And I will work with this fear as I'm going, as opposed to, you know, just being frustrated. Why is this happening? Why isn't this happening? So I'm like, no, it's the curiosity of what is happening in our own subconscious and why we end up in certain patterns of relationship or certain patterns of struggle in life, in our lives. That is where the good stuff is. When we can be curious about it, then we can start to explore what are we resonating with? What, you know, what part of me is manifesting in this external way? Why am I creating my reality? How am I setting the vibration, the resonance of the world around me that this is manifesting in this particular way? In this jerk of a boss, in this bully of a classmate, in this ridiculous financial situation. It's not to put shame on it, but rather I'm curious. Now if I understand it, I'm aware of it, now I can actually do something with it and I can manifest more clearly.
Right. And I heard from one of my spiritual teachers that they said, you are living the life right now that you want to live, which just kind of blew me away because, you know, in my mind, do I want to have financial struggles? Do I want to, you know, all these things that are going through it. And in reality, I think a lot of times we just don't want to accept the fact that we are in the situations that we are in because we're learning. And as long as we look at it as lessons that we're learning and we need to move past it to grow and to be stronger, then we will be out of it a lot faster versus putting blame on other, you know, situations and things to get to that point.
Right. And I think it's also really important to mention that there are still forces stronger than us at play. That's the other thing that I always talk about when I talk about manifestation, is that like I might want to manifest this particular life, but the stronger forces at play, whether you want to call it karma or my soul lesson, my soul's path, or my guides and guardians who are guiding me along the way, say, yeah, that's nice, you want to manifest that, but that's actually not going to be helpful for you in your lifetime. This is actually more helpful. We're going to create this instead for you. You know, the manifestation has some limits. I'm not going to fight the laws of the universe. I can't fight the laws of gravity or physics just by manifesting. And even like on a personal level, there are going to be some systemic, and we can't, you know, ignore systemic racism or misogyny, that all our personal manifesting, you know, individually is not necessarily going to change the history of police brutality or other issues that are bigger social agenda issues. It's a little bit of it's a very personal process. It's not necessarily, and like if a group of people take this up and together we're all going to work to manifest greater equality or greater equity, then like absolutely. But it's a little bit, I've talked to somebody recently about like some of the privilege, you know, that we have this ability to manifest. Well, yes, it's open to anybody who truly, like those who are not sure where food is going to come from for themselves or their kids, or do they even have the ability to walk down the streets in a way that is not, you know, where they're going to be safe. That's a slightly different, I look at it as potentially, maybe I'm wrong. I'm totally open to being wrong. But I kind of feel like there is going to be some other things, that this is a little bit of a privileged space to be able to say, you know what, I can manifest my life in this way.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I do think if people are in those particular situations, they are, like you said, karmically, they're not because it's a bad, good, whatever situation. It's in a situation that we are all empowered to try and make our lives and others' lives a little bit better. And some people obviously have struggles that we can't necessarily like solve in a day, but we are all responsible as a community to help and to serve and to not let it be just on one person, right? Or one situation. So I see that.
And also like my purview is also myself. Like what do I have most control over? And if I'm getting upset about the state of our politics or our planet or some issue, like truly, like what is most under my control is myself and how I'm operating, you know, and what am I doing that I can, you know, what consciously and unconsciously is happening within me, and how do I have some control over that? That is, it's a point of like reference. Like, okay, let me come back to me, and how do I make some adjustments internally to live to respond in a healthier way and to more effectively make change for others?
Exactly. And the fact that people, a lot of times, whether they come from a place of privilege or not, and there's complaints. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, what are you doing to actually implement change, to implement an impact and to help your community and the people and your neighbors that you serve? And if you don't do that, then I don't have any compassion. If you're actually trying to reach out and to help and do all of these things, from whether it's manifestation, prayer, what have you, there are people out there. So, but before we break, what I would love to do is also ask you. So I've heard some things about, you know, if you are going to manifest, you create a vision board. Don't roll your eyes, Shoshette. Create a vision board. Create a list of things. What are some tips? Because I've also heard some things of what not to do. So when you are trying to bring something into your life, physically, mentally, spiritually, there are some tips that are best practices, and I'd love to be able to share that with the listeners.
Sure. Well, step one is stay positive in your manifestation. We want to avoid negatives. We want to avoid double negatives. Like, I don't want debt. That's not. And the reason is that when we're saying it, I don't want this, you're still defining your experience in relationship to the thing you don't want. So your focus is still on the thing that you don't want. Where instead, I want financial freedom. I want joy. You know, I'm manifesting this energy in my life. So that's the biggest thing that I offer, is to stay in the positive. And the next thing, again, to come back to is what I said before, is to stay curious about what's in you that might be getting in that way. And lastly, is to stay consistent. Where, you know, my wife calls herself persistent as all heck. And it's true. It's like, she, like, with an issue, like, she gets really determined, and she's like, I'm not letting this go. I know this can happen. Like, this really can, this can be a thing. And so she's blessed with that confidence. A lot of times I'm like, I don't know how you do that, but she is. And so I think that it's a knowing that you can have it. And if part of you doesn't believe that you can have it, that's a great place to start. That's a great place that's putting it in the way, you know, to be curious, like, why don't I believe that this is possible? And how do I rearrange myself so I do believe this is possible, and so I can take steps toward that? But to not let go.
Yeah, not let go. I love that, the persistence of it. And when somebody's saying an affirmation, do you feel differently on, for example, if somebody says, I will be rich versus I am rich?
Yeah.
Because I've heard different feedback. Yeah. And I think that a lot of people tend to write affirmations or say it, or mantras every day, to be like, I will be rich, I will do this, that, and the other, or I will find love.
Yeah.
And I heard that you should be like, I am loved. I am in a loving relationship. I do have abundance. Is that something that you would recommend?
Yeah, I like that language better, is the present tense. I am this. I am an abundant person.
And to feel it, right? To like actually like feel it.
Yeah, but truly, I think I can argue it both ways. I truly can. And I think this is where I would invite people to see what resonates with them more. Because you could say, I will be, like, I can look at my bank account and say, like, right now I'm at -$300. How the hell can I say that I am abundant? Like, you know, like, I've got debtors calling me every day. Like, how could I possibly say that? That's a pipe dream. So for that person, they might have to play with the language a little bit so it really lands with them. With manifestation, it's really what's in your heart more than what's in your mind. So if you are saying, I am abundant, but you're not believing it because you're looking at your bank account and you're believing that more, then it's possible that the I will be could be a better fit for you for a little bit.
Gotcha. And I think that totally makes sense. And I love the fact that you said whatever resonates the most with people, and then as they progress into it. I personally like the fact of embracing it, and because you can be rich in many ways, right? You can be rich in love and in family and friends. And when you find that, I guess it just really depends on what you're looking for. And to have that be as much present, it's almost like that fake it till you make it. Like, it just brings it into being. But I can see both ways. So, well, is there anything else?
I was just going to refer back to the movie The Secret, or the book The Secret, where they talk about really believing it, believing that you already have it, seeing the world, feeling the world that you already have it. That you're setting that into, you're setting yourself in that resonance. It's not just a thought process. Because our heart, the electromagnetic field of our heart is actually 2.5 times bigger than the electromagnetic field of our brain. So if I'm thinking something, but I'm feeling something different, the feeling is going to win.
I'm pumping my hands in the air because it was just what recently from some study that they said that the heart actually dictates the brain. And it wasn't until just recently where everybody thought that the brain led, and the fact that the heart actually controls physical, spiritual, emotional. I'm glad that you said that because you're the first person that I've been talking to that mentioned that. And I truly, truly have always believed that even as a child.
Yeah. And actually one more thing I just thought about for manifestation is that the language that's often used for people to manifest is see it as if it's already happened. And I'm going to invite people that if you know your particular intuitive sense, seeing may not be your strongest thing. So for me in particular, my strongest intuitive sense is more kinesthetic. It's feeling rather than seeing. So if I'm going to work on manifestation, I'm going to go through my strongest kinesthetic sense, my strongest clairsense, which is kinesthesia. It was going to be like, what is it going to feel like to have this? But someone who's very visual, when they meditate or they do guided meditations, they tend to be more visual than auditory or feeling. But it's like, cool, visualize it. So it's kind of like work with the way that you are most strongly plugged in to the matrix, so to speak.
And that's perfect because it really truly is customized or should be customized based on each person and what works for them. So I think that's great. Well, before we break, is there anything else you would like to add? And then also, how can people reach you?
I just want to say thank you. This has been a very lovely conversation. I really enjoy talking about these things with someone like mind and who wants to bring this to other people. This is it's been a real pleasure. So for people to reach me, my website is personalfreedomadvocate.com. I'm on Facebook. I do have a Twitter account, but I don't really use it that much. And I work in Massachusetts. I have an office in Northampton, Mass, and an office in Andover. But I also work remotely. So any of the work that I do, and yes, even acupuncture, I can do remotely. Not so much that I'm going to be telling you how to put toothpicks on your skin. It's more about there's an energetic component that I can give you an acupuncture treatment from a distance. So this really, the way that I work can be done anywhere.
That's cool. So is that like acupuncture plus a combination of Reiki? Is that how you do it?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just, because I've always said that Reiki is when people ask me and they don't know anything about it, I say that it's like acupuncture, but without the needles is how I kind of explain it to just give people a visual or a sense. Yeah.
So I work locally and remotely, and I'm happy to talk with anybody who's curious about that. And feel free to reach out to me with any questions. I'm happy to share this and talk to other people about it because I think this stuff is really cool.
Well, thanks again, Dave. And again, anyone that wants to reach him, personalfreedomadvocate.com. You can reach him on the website, and I definitely can vouch for him. And anything else, go to A Psychic Story, and you will find more about this recording if you weren't able to listen to it from the start. So thank you again, Dave, and look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com.